United States and 13 Latin American nations will end the quarantine of Cuba. I'm Jerry Landay, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Member nations of the Organization of American States will meet in San Jose, Costa Rica next Tuesday to formally abolish trade and diplomatic sanctions, sanctions imposed against the Castro regime back in 1964. The so-called Freedom of Action Resolution represents an historic reversal of policy by the United States. White House emissaries and congressional leaders are continuing with efforts to reach a compromise on energy legislation. Republican sources suggest the president would be willing to agree to the phasing out of price controls on domestic oil over a longer period than he originally wanted. In exchange, he would bow to the Democratic desire to put some kind of ceiling on crude oil prices. More CBS News after this.
Easy day, settle back. Pop a cap, bring on the great unexpected beer.
Friends are a good reason to keep any beer on hand, but especially Michelob. It's always an unexpected pleasure.
Ready on the great taste of Michelob.
The
unexpected pleasure.
The great taste of Michelob.
The unexpected pleasure.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Quaker State, your car, to keep it running young.
These words stand for great value. Regular changes with Quaker State can help reduce costly engine repairs. Made from Pennsylvania-grade crude oil, Quaker State's the number one selling motor oil, and you'll find it more places than ever. Sure, Quaker State's jingle is pretty. It keeps your engine humming.
Quaker State, your car, to keep it running young.
The UN Security Council meets publicly Thursday to formally empower the United Nations Emergency Force in the Sinai to stay in position. Its mandate was due to lapse at midnight, but Egypt withdrew its objections and agreed to extend the life of the force for three more months. Peter Warg has the background in Cairo.
By renewing the mandate for the United Nations Peace Forces in Sinai for a period of only 3 months, President Sadat is underlining his impatience with the slow progress of the peace negotiations. That, in effect, is what the exercise of threatening not to renew it was all about. In making the announcement that Egypt would renew the mandate, Foreign Minister Ismail Fahmy said that world attention has now been drawn to the gravity of the situation. And for the past week, while everyone waited to see what Sadat would do, the theme of Israeli procrastination was over and over again repeated here, both by officials and in the local press. Peter Ward for CBS News, Cairo.
While one potential crisis has been diffused and others have appeared in its place, Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin of Israel says his country will not sign an interim peace accord over Sinai without face-to-face negotiations with the Egyptians, an encounter President Sadat firmly opposes. More details from the Army on its secret testing program with LSD between 1956 and 1967. The head of the Army's drug testing program has conceded LSD was given to nearly 600 soldier volunteers without telling them what it was. The Federal Trade Commission says it will investigate the shortage of jar lids needed in the annual rite of home canning. The shortage may spell the loss of much of the harvest of summer gardens. A spokesman for the Ball Corporation of Muncie, Indiana, a leading producer, blames unexpected consumer demand for the lids.
We've been operating 7 days a week, three shifts a day, and we're making all the lids we know how to make, and we're getting them out into the marketplace, and they're just disappearing.
Spokesman Vern Schran says his firm is producing 3 million caps and lids a day, and it's still not enough. The crew of Apollo is due home Thursday afternoon, ending its 10-day mission in space and marking the last flight in the Apollo program. Weather reported good in the Pacific Ocean recovery area. More CBS News after this.
Hello, everybody. This is Cousin Bruce Morrow for the Foundation Church. Now, these are troubled times. Not a lot of money around. Work's kind of tough to get. Apathy's here. We're disillusioned. Wondering what's going to go down next. Well, it's easy to go along with it, right? I mean, just sit around and say, who cares? You don't have the next guy worry about it. But does it have to be like this? Pride, dignity, truth, being straight with one another. Now, these qualities have not disappeared. They've just gone to sleep for a while, right? But now's the time to wake them up. Only we can do it. This message brought to you by the Foundation Church, 111 East 38th Street, New York, New York. Zip 10016.
The New York Times cites authoritative government sources as saying that in September of 1970, then-President Richard Nixon ordered the Central Intelligence Agency to stop Salvador Allende from becoming president of Chile. The following month, the Times says, Henry Kissinger, then Mr. Nixon's assistant for national security affairs, was made aware of the presidential order. Wednesday, the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence said it intends to question Kissinger about CIA involvement in Chile. Former Senator George Smathers of Florida has told the Select Committee that in 1962, then-President John F. Kennedy discussed with him a proposal to assassinate Premier Fidel Castro of Cuba. Smathers said Mr. Kennedy rejected the idea. I'm Jerry Landay, CBS News.
This is Rudy Perez on KIXI, AM and FM in Seattle, and a look at the weather picture. The upper-level ridge over the Pacific Northwest, which brought us sunny and warm weather, has shifted a little eastward and allowed a weak Pacific front to advance toward the state. Satellite pictures received tonight show the front to be nearing the northwest tip of Washington State and weakening. The remnants of the system are expected to be over the state by tomorrow morning. The chance of rain will remain quite low. And there'll be a weak onshore flow of cooler marine air, which will bring cooler temperatures for the Puget Sound country tomorrow. Little change expected east of the Cascades. By Friday, the onshore flow should strengthen, providing morning low clouds and partial afternoon clearing. Right now, it's a warm 75 degrees at Lake Union in downtown Seattle, 74 at SeaTac Airport, wind out of the north-northwest at 8 miles an hour, the barometer at 30.07 and rising. The time is 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. This is going to be a story that's almost unbelievable. Almost. A thing will happen which people, scientists included, will tell you cannot possibly happen. As your parents or grandparents were told that radio could not happen, television, heavier than air flight, and space travel could not happen. The thing is almost impossible. However, Kathy and Doug Sellers live in a middle-class suburb. Their neighbors are people to whom they say good morning, with whom they discuss the weather and the crabgrass. That's about the extent of the neighborliness. So that Doug is surprised this evening when Kathy says...
Early dinner tonight. We've been invited next door to spend the evening.
Oh, the Carters? They invited us over?
No, not the Carters. No, next door the other way, oh. The Joneses.
Well... They just moved in yesterday.
I know. You wouldn't think they'd be ready for guests so soon. But they're completely settled in. I never saw anything like it.
Mm. How come you saw it in the first place?
Well, I went over there. She's such a little thing. I just thought I'd go over and see if I could help.
It was neighborly of you.
Well, but there wasn't anything to help with.
Mm. You like her?
Mm, she's nice, yes. Her name's Tootie.
Tootie?
I said we'd come, okay?
Oh, sure, of course. He's kind of funny looking.
Well, they're quite small, both of them.
Yeah,
but
he's got a big head. I know they can't help it, but somehow small people with big heads put me off.
Our mystery drama... Through the Looking Glass was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Fielden Farrington and stars Ann Shepherd. It is sponsored in part by the Florida Orange Growers and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
The following fable is presented to make you want to buy a Buick.
As a kid, everything I had was somebody else's.
My, he certainly has his mother's eyes.
And his father's hair. Boy, what a hairy little person.
Well, I finally got something to call my own. A beautiful Buick LeSabre.
with my kind of room, my kind of ride, and my kind of style. Heck, I even let my dad borrow it now and then, because I love to hear people say, my, he certainly has his son's Buick.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
This is Lloyd Nolan. My son Jay was physically perfect. I guess he was about 2 years old before we realized that anything was wrong. At first, we thought he was deaf. That's what the parents of most autistic children think. At that time, I don't think we knew any parents of an autistic child. It would have been a great blessing to us to have had a National Society for Autistic Children. Support the National Society, Box 8646, Albany, New York, 12208.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. You know, use of the metric system as a uniform system of measurement in this country is growing rapidly. But of course, you want to know how it will affect you, right? Well, take driving your car, for example. The kilometer will replace the mile in expressing distances. Right now, 1 mile is equal to 1,760 yards or 5,280 feet. Now, isn't it easier to remember that 1 kilometer is equal to 1,000 meters? Your car's speedometer will also change from miles per hour to kilometers per hour. So will speed limit signs on the highways. And again, the standard unit of measure will be the meter. And so when you order a tank full of gas, the liquid measure will be in liters, not gallons. For example, a fill-up of 16 gallons is equal to 60 liters. For more information on the metric system, write to Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C.
There is a certain excitement in meeting new people who may or may not turn out to be friends. Friendship, not to be confused with acquaintanceship, requires so many parallels of taste, viewpoints, needs, backgrounds, and the like, that it's quite remarkable we see as much of it as we do. Kathy and Doug Sellers are calling to spend an evening with two strangers who obviously would like to become friends.
Hello, Kathy. Oh, I'm so glad you could both come.
Hi, Tootie. This is my husband, Doug.
Oh, how do you do?
How do you do?
Well, please come in. I want you to meet Sid. Sid? Oh, he's upstairs. Sometimes he's so slow getting ready for anything. Well, won't you sit down?
You really are settled in, aren't you? It's very nice, too. Everything looks brand new.
Oh, yes, it is. Well, can I get you a cup of coffee or... Oh, dear, I don't think we have anything to drink. I mean, like...
Oh, coffee's fine.
Hello down there. I'll be right with you.
Sid, do we have any... You didn't get any whiskey or anything, did you?
No, I'm sorry. I am sorry. I should have thought of that.
We don't drink at all, you see. And it's just... easy to forget.
That's no excuse. I should have...
Oh, that's all right. We don't drink either. Not really.
Hardly ever.
You see, where we come from, people just don't drink.
You must come from a far distance. I'm trying to think of a place where nobody drinks.
Well, things are very different here. We're really very... Oh, what is that word, Sid?
Backwoodsy. We're very backwoodsy.
Yes.
Uh-huh. You're putting us on, right?
We're... What?
You're putting us on, kidding us.
Oh.
Well, I mean, this furniture looks as if it had been designed for 20 years from now. Backwoodsy?
Well, the furniture's all new, you know.
And you've got it all arranged so quickly. As I told Doug earlier, it looks as though you've been living here for years. And he's right, you know. It's very advanced.
Is it? Well, is it too...
It's all right, Tootie. She's so afraid we're going to seem, you know, different.
Doc, did you hear what Tootie just told me? Sid's in the same business you're in.
No kidding.
Are you an inventor, Doc?
No, I'm a... Well, more like a designer, actually. Internal combustion engines.
Oh, we're not too far apart. As a matter of fact, I'm working on something right now that may put you out of business.
Oh? What would that be?
I've got a motor that's powered by solar energy.
Oh, by sunlight, just Sunlight?
Yes. Well, not the light itself, of course, by the emanations.
Does it work?
Oh, yes. Would you like to see it?
See it?
I've got a working model down in the basement.
A solar energy motor in the basement?
Oh, I see. It doesn't need the direct light. And besides, it stores. Do you want to see it?
Aren't you afraid I'll steal it? I mean, if you've got a solar energy engine that really works...
No, I'm not afraid. Now, please don't be offended. I've had to work out some pretty radical new mathematical concepts that... Well, you wouldn't understand them just looking at the model. Nobody would.
Okay. I'd love to see it.
Good, come along. The good thing about it is you don't even need a sunny day. All you need is the sun on your side of the earth.
Would you like more coffee? If Doug's anything like Sid, they'll be down there for hours.
No, I don't think I could handle any more coffee, thank you. You're right about Doug, though. Where did Sid work before you came here? I mean, maybe he worked for somebody Doug knows.
Well, he didn't actually work for anyone. He's always been just an inventor.
Well, Doug knows so many people in the business. We moved around so much before we went to work for Driscoll Motors. I just thought we might have some mutual friends.
No. I mean, it doesn't seem likely. We haven't lived anywhere but, you know, there and now here.
Well, where did you live before?
It was just, well, like a different world almost. That's why I'm so pleased about tonight. We're the kind of people who just can't live without friends, you know?
Mm.
We were afraid there wouldn't be anyone we could, well, be friends with. So that makes tonight so good.
Oh, Tootie, you don't have to worry. We have a lot of friends you'll probably meet.
Where we used to live, we knew everyone. Just everyone.
Oh, that must have been nice wherever it was.
Oh, yes. It was all we knew, of course. In many ways, it's better here. Much better.
It's so quiet. How can a motor with any guts to it be so quiet? Lately, I've heard cats purr louder.
Well, there's nothing to make noise, actually, except the friction. And there's very little of that.
It's beautiful. How big would it have to be to power, say, an automobile?
How big? This engine itself would pull a freight train. So 12, maybe 15 cars.
That little thing?
Energy doesn't come in sizes, Doug. With refinements I'm not tooled for here, a motor like this could supply all the electricity a medium-sized city would need.
You're kidding.
It has implications, as a matter of fact, that could lead to the obsolescence of electricity itself.
Man, you are talking revolution, you know that?
It would be a tremendous step. Yes, it would almost certainly entail some dislocation.
Dislocation? It would bomb out just about everything our society is based on.
Well, the short-term adjustment would be severe, I don't deny that. Temporary chaos. The gain would be long-range, not immediate.
Ooh, scares me. No kidding, you don't know what you've got here.
Oh, yes, I know. What I have here is a device, a ridiculously simple little device which would make the air we breathe sweet and pure again. Make the oceans, the lakes, and the rivers habitable for marine creatures. Put an end to nervous breakdowns from the sheer clamor of civilization. As you say, destroy everything today's society is based on.
Well, today's society isn't exactly utopia, I know that, but... Sid, it's the only society we've got.
Would you like to see the design on paper? Talk about the math involved.
Well, you said I couldn't understand the math anyway.
No. I said you couldn't understand it simply from looking at the motor. Actually, like the motor, the math is quite simple.
I can't tell you how glad I am that you could come over and just, you know, visit.
I'm afraid I've talked too much shop to Doug, though.
Huh? Oh, no, not at all. I'm sorry. I guess I'm sort of preoccupied.
Dinner next time, all right?
Okay. I'd love to watch that gadget of yours turn out a whole dinner.
Let's go, Kathy. I mean, I do have to get to work early tomorrow. I'll be in touch, Sid, okay?
Good night.
Good night. Good night, and thanks again.
Disapprove neighbors?
What did you say, Tootie?
I say disapprove. Oh, I'm sorry.
We agreed not to speak that way, not even when we're alone.
Oh, I keep forgetting. Did you approve of the neighbors?
Yes. On the whole, yes, I think so. What did you think of her?
Well, it's hard to get used to these big, clumsy people, you know. But I rather liked her. She's a little inquisitive, but I guess that's natural. It's nothing I can't handle.
He's a good man. He does have that stupid short-sightedness they all have. But I think he'll do.
Well, I don't care what you told them about us hardly drinking. I want a good solid slug of bourbon.
Okay. Something happened?
What?
Did he tell you where they're from? Where they moved here from?
No, I don't think so.
Well, she's a pretty close-mouthed one. Aren't you even going to put any water or anything with it?
He's quite a guy, that Sid.
How do you mean?
Well, when Tootie... what kind of a name is that, anyway? Anyway, when she called him an inventor, she sure wasn't kidding. Did she say anything about where they came from?
I told you I spent the whole evening trying to find out where they're from. But she's slippery as an eel. I didn't get to first base.
People don't give things away. You have to be suspicious when a man wants to give something away. I think he was completely cracked, except that crazy math of his works. So does his engine.
I don't have any idea what you're talking about.
He wants to give it to me. Now, you can't tell me there isn't a catch in that somewhere. He just wants to give it to me. The whole thing, no strings attached.
Give you what?
He's got this machine, this motor, this engine. Designed it, built it himself, he says, invented it. Draws its power from sunlight, sun rays. There's a difference. And it's just gonna blow the whole world up. That's all.
A bomb? You mean a bomb?
Oh, no. Just the opposite, I guess you could say. Only, good Lord, the mess it could make. It's like we made a wrong turn 100 years ago or so, all of us, our whole society, and what he wants to do is to back up and make the proper turn. You just can't wipe out. It's a very scary thing. Kathy. What am I gonna do?
Well, I don't really understand the problem yet, Doc.
Okay. He's got a machine that takes its power from the sun, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, and that's about the size of a small vacuum cleaner, and it could power a city. It could. I've seen it. I've seen the blueprints. I've learned the math. Learned it. Mind you, in half an hour. And all our old math, everything I spent my life learning, it's all just silly kid stuff.
Did you say he wants to give all this to you?
Now, figure what it means. Everything we know is down the drain. Now, just think about oil. You've got 50 billion or so barrels of oil tucked away, and you're using it to make the world market go where you want it to go. All of a sudden... your 50 billion barrels of oil aren't worth the price of half a dozen loaves of yesterday's bread. It's not going to make you happy. It's going to make you feel very, very restless and insecure. Or you manufacture, or all your money is in something or other power and light company, or you work in a gas station, or you're a coal miner, or I don't care, you're anything. Whatever you do for a living, it's dead. And Sid wants to give the damn thing to me. Maybe I don't blame him.
Wouldn't there be a lot of money in it?
For us? Millions. Oh, hell, more like billions.
Take it.
I'm not even sure money would have much value anymore. Apart from everything else, I've got this feeling I'm being used.
There's a very good chance that Doug is being used.
In a good cause, perhaps, but used all the same. There's a worn-out old cliché that says you can't make an omelet without breaking an egg. All well and good. But what if the egg that's getting broken is the world you've grown up in? The only world you know. It could make you feel pretty uncomfortable. I'll be back shortly with Act Two.
Come on, America, be fresh in the natural way. Have a glass of summer juice any time of day.
Hi, Anita Bryant for Summer Juice, 100% pure orange juice from Florida. Pour some over ice any time of day, whenever you want something cool and delicious. No matter what the clock may say, you say orange juice from Florida.
Orange juice, America's summer juice.
From the Florida orange growers.
In God we trust. America speaks. In the words of Thomas Jefferson, I must believe that religion substantially good, which produces an honest life, and we've been authorized by one whom you and I equally respect to judge of the tree by its fruit. Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
Hello, this is Angie Dickinson. Today, women are entering careers which were once strictly men only. So when a woman chooses to be a doctor, stockbroker, or police officer, she knows and accepts that she must be well prepared for the job. Yet, incredibly, some women fail to prepare themselves for the most important job of all, motherhood. True, not all women choose to become mothers, but if you are one who has, listen to the March of Dimes. As soon as you think you are pregnant, see a doctor and see that doctor often during your pregnancy. Follow good advice, eat the foods recommended, get plenty of rest. Exercise in moderation. Most important, don't take any drugs unless prescribed by the doctor. Prenatal care, the best possible preparation a woman can have for a healthy, normal pregnancy and a healthy, normal baby. Keeping in mind the importance of the job you've undertaken, follow March of Dimes' advice. Be good to your baby before it's born.
Doug Sellers didn't have a very good night's sleep. He and Kathy spent most of what was left of the night talking about their new next-door neighbors, Sid and Tootie Jones. That is an odd name, Tootie, isn't it? At any rate, Doug's mood isn't the best this morning.
I'm going to have a talk with old Driscoll today.
About Sid's gadget, the solar thing?
About how hard the guy's working trying to give it away. I hear something spooky about that. I don't like being spooked.
You said Sid's crazy to give the thing away. Aren't you doing the same thing if you tell Mr. Driscoll?
If I decide to take that nutty engine from Sid, and I haven't made my mind up yet. I couldn't possibly handle it on my own. It's going to take a lot of money to get a solar-powered motor in production. I'm not even sure Driscoll Motors is big enough.
But won't you have to give some of it to Mr. Driscoll if you bring him into it?
Only if I decide to accept from Sid, and if I do... The whole thing was a gift to me in the first place.
Well, I just thought... Oh, well, you know best.
If you want the truth, I don't know a damn thing. Except that I'm sitting on a keg of very high explosive, and it's making me very uneasy. So, that's it, Mr. Driscoll. The motor works. I saw it work, and it's just... You wouldn't believe it without seeing it. I studied the engine, too, and it would be simpler to make than most of what we're doing now. Simplest thing you ever saw, really. Except it's based on a completely new concept.
My first reaction, Doug, is nonsense.
Sure, that'd be anybody's first reaction.
But not yours?
Well, mine at first, yes, but then I saw the damn thing, Mr. Driscoll. I saw it.
No doubt in your mind now?
None. I'm as skeptical by nature as you are, but the thing works. And it's going to knock everything we know right out the window.
Well... That won't be permitted, of course. Now, what I'm interested now is... He offered you all rights?
Yes.
You sign any papers, either of you?
No, I said I wanted time to think it over.
You say this thing works, and I'm prepared to take your word for it. I want 50% of the rights. Straight down the middle. You agree to that?
Well, sure,
I'm
but
I... call Al Dobson. He can get the ball rolling faster than anybody I know. I'll get Ed Cahill moving on it, too. And, when can you get this, the inventor in here?
Mr. Driscoll, all I wanted to do was to tell you about this thing and ask your advice. Now, as
you've told me, and I'm advising you. Now, you pass the ball to me, and I run with it, right?
Mr. Driscoll, I don't have a ball to pass. I just...
If you don't have a ball, we know where it is. Your inventor has fumbled it, and we'll take it over. He's no businessman, Sid. Would he have offered to give you a thing like solar energy if he were a businessman?
Well, the thing
is... Oh, maybe we don't actually have the ball yet, but we...
Now, look, Mr. Driscoll, you said... What was it you said? I told you it was going to knock everything we know right out the window, and you said that wouldn't be permitted. Now you talk as if you want to go ahead with it.
It'll be suppressed. Don't you worry about that, Doug boy. They'll buy us out.
Oh.
You think the oil industry would let a gadget like this go on the market? Not in a million years. And the auto manufacturers? Good Lord. Think what it would mean to them, just the retooling alone. Don't you worry about it, Doug. They'll buy us out.
I don't think Sid Jones will go along with
it. He'll go along. I told you, he's fumbled. When you fumble, you lose the ball.
Hi.
I washed the breakfast dishes, did two loads of laundry, and vacuumed the living room. I figured it was time to take a break. You mind?
Oh, mind? No, I'm delighted. Come on in. Mm-hmm. Let's go in the sitting room. Living room. Oh, which do you call it?
Living room. Doesn't matter.
Well, anyway, come on in and sit down. I didn't have anything to do either. I was just... Oh, I forgot to turn off the television.
That's a television set?
Oh, you know Sid. It's one of his inventions. He'll drive me crazy with his inventions one of these days.
But the screen's the wrong shape. It's so big. It looks like when you turn it off is a full-length mirror.
Well, that's the idea, I guess. People would rather have a mirror in their sitting room than a box with that big blank screen staring at them. Oh, I don't know. I don't try to keep up with Sid's inventions.
Doug says he's very good.
Oh, yes. He's good.
Doug says he's way ahead of his time.
Ahead of his time?
Yeah. You know, inventing things the world just isn't ready for yet. Like that solar energy thing.
Well, he is very advanced in his thinking. Yes, Sid is very advanced. And he's worried about the ecology.
You know, Tootie, Doug was very upset last night.
Oh?
Sid wanted to give him that solar energy thing. I mean, you just hand it over to him. Let him take out the patents and take all the credit and make all the money?
Oh. Sid didn't tell me he'd gone that far.
Why would anybody want to do a thing like that, Tootie? You know, it looks funny. Actually, how it looks to Doug is suspicious. Why doesn't Sid apply for the patents himself? That's what anybody else would do.
He can't.
He can't.
We're not, we aren't American citizens.
Well, I can't see what difference that would make, really. There are plenty of American patents held by people who are citizens of other countries. Doesn't Sid know that?
Well, we're, Kathy, I don't know exactly what they'd call us. Unregistered aliens, something like that. We're actually not in the country legally. We don't have any papers or any of that.
I see. Tootie, where are you from?
I can't tell you. Maybe Sid will want to later on. I expect he will. But I'm afraid I've already told you more than he'd want me to right now.
it, Doug, what is this thing you've dumped in my lap?
What do you mean?
There's something mighty queer going on. I called Al Dobson and told him to get the ball rolling. Didn't tell him a damn thing except it was a solar-powered motor. And he had me back on the phone 20 minutes later. 20 minutes! Saying the thing was already out of hand and he had to know more.
Out of hand?
They want it. Everybody wants it. Ed Cahill says...
Ed Cahill, the patent lawyer?
They called him. The patent office called him. Now, you can believe that or not, but that's what Ed Cahill told me. They've been hearing talk about solar energy down there, they said, and they called him.
Well, it looks like...
Somebody's pushing this thing. That's what it looks like to me. Somebody very big.
Well, after all, solar power...
I want you to see this, whatever his name is, this kook that's trying to give the rights away. I want you to get this paper signed.
What is it?
Don't waste time reading it. It's a simple release. Later on, there'll be reams of paperwork, but right now, I want that release signed.
All right, Mr. Driscoll.
And Doug...
Yes.
If you don't get that release signed, or if this nutty solar thing turns out to be phony, I'm gonna bury you so deep they'll never dig you out.
Nah, I should never have talked to Driscoll about Sid's invention.
What happened?
Oh, hell broke loose. As nearly as I can figure, Driscoll's committed himself in two or three places without having a damn thing to deliver. And everything's moving so fast, it's a mess, that's all.
Dear, I talked to Tootie this morning, like you said.
Mm-hmm. You find out anything?
They're what she called unregistered aliens. She said that herself. They're in the country illegally.
Oh, good Lord.
Doug, what does it mean?
I don't know what it means. Trouble, that's for sure.
That was why he wanted to turn the invention over to you, Tootie said. He doesn't have any papers or anything. I mean, you know, no ID, no social security, nothing. And he knew he'd get into trouble, I guess, if he started messing around with patents and all that.
He's in trouble, all right.
Why? You going to do something about it?
I'm going to call Driscoll and tell him.
Oh, Doug, do you think you ought to? Couldn't you just... Oh, poor Sid. What about him, Doug?
I'm afraid that'll just have to be his problem. I've got a couple of my own.
Well, but do you have to tell Mr. Driscoll?
Look, I've been working for Driscoll for over 8 years. I'm one of the top men in the company. I met Sid for the first time last night. Now, which one am I supposed to be loyal to?
Yes, Driscoll here.
Mr. Driscoll, this is Doug Sellers.
Did you get that release signed?
Not yet. I just found out something I think you ought to know. The inventor, Sid Jones, the guy's not an American citizen. He's in the country illegally.
Say that again.
He's in this country illegally.
A spy?
No, I'm sure it's nothing like that. He's, I know him, Mr. Driscoll. I don't think he's a spy.
I might have known. Solar energy, my foot, he's a lousy spy. That thing of his is probably some kind of bomb or something. He's made you believe that...
Oh, come on, Mr. Driscoll. I'm not that stupid. That engine that I saw last night was...
All right, I'll fix his wagon. You watch me. Thinks he can make a fool of Thomas P. Driscoll, does he?
What are you going to do?
Never you mind.
Oh, boy.
What'd he say?
He's decided Sid's a spy. I guess he means to blow the whistle on him.
You don't think he is, do you? Sid? A spy?
No, I don't know. I don't think so.
Shouldn't we go over and tell them? I mean, after all, if they're in trouble, it's our fault, too, isn't... Well, at least it's partly our fault.
Yes, things seem to be moving along very nicely.
Nicely? Sid, he thinks you're a spy.
Oh, Tootie, I'm sorry, but... Well, I always tell Doug everything, you know.
It's all right, Kathy.
Oh, please don't feel badly about it, either of you. It's all right. The patent office was interested, you say. That sounds very good.
Don't you think you ought to... Look, I mean, old Driscoll is going to do something. And that's for sure. And if you're not in this country legally...
It's all right, Doug. Really, it is. Did you say this Mr. Driscoll gave you a paper he wanted me to sign?
Well, yes.
Do you have it with you?
Yes. Sid, There is something very odd about all this. I mean, you're giving away... Sid, do you realize what you're giving away?
Yes.
But tell them, Sid. Don't you think they have a right to know? After all that's happened?
Yes. I want to show you something, Doug. You and Kathy.
Oh, the TV. It's another of his inventions, Doug. The television. Did I tell you about that?
I don't think so. I don't remember.
Actually, it isn't a television set at all, except as you break the word down. Tele for distant, distant seeing. Even so, it isn't that kind of distance. And I get only one picture on it. Always the same picture.
Only one picture?
Yes. I'll show you. That's the picture.
Oh, it's not very pretty, is it?
Looks more like a moonscape than anything else. Except for those mounds or domes or whatever they are scattered around. How come it's black and white?
There isn't any color there, Doug. In the scene we're watching, you'd see it if there were. It's just gray. There's no color at all.
Is it a movie? A science fiction movie or something like that?
Oh, no. It's quite real.
Well, it can't be the moon unless the other side has put domes up there and we don't know about it.
No, it isn't the moon.
Tell them, Sid.
It's our home. Tootie's and mine. That's where we came from. That's where we've always lived.
An alien world, old enough and weathered enough to look like our moon? Well, we've all heard or read stories about such places. That was fiction, of course. But it hasn't been so very long since it was only in fiction that men put on space suits and blasted off from Earth and later walked on the moon. Today's science fiction has an unsettling way of becoming tomorrow's fact. I'll return shortly with Act 3.
The following fable is presented to make you want to buy a Buick.
From Mom, I got my practical side.
Christmas? Oh, just get me a nice mop, son.
From Dad, I got my fun-loving side.
Go fly a kite, kid.
So, being practical and fun-loving, naturally, I got a Buick Skylark. Being the only V6-powered American compact, it's very practical. And being a Buick, it's a lot of fun to drive. As Mom says...
A wise decision, son.
Or, as my father would say...
Nice car, kid. Let's go shoot some pool.
Buick. Dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Earthquakes. The shifting, trembling earth. Falling objects. Debris are a constant threat to life and property for many countries, including the United States. And should a natural disaster occur, you can count on the American Red Cross being there, reaching out to the people. The Red Cross Disaster Program meets the urgent needs of victims after a disaster or in advance of a potential crisis, extending a helping hand, just like a good neighbor. And that's what we are, your American Red Cross.
Oh, Great Spirit, whose voice in the winds I hear and whose breath give life to all the world, hear me.
The voice is Iron Eyes Cody of the Cherokee Nation. The words are a prayer first spoken 400 years ago by his people, a people who loved the land.
Make me walk in beauty. Make my heart respect all you have made. Make me wise that I may know all you have taught my people, the lessons you have hidden in every rock.
In some Americans today, that spirit is reborn. Throughout the land, areas of thoughtless litter and pollution are being restored to their natural beauty. And yet we still have so far to go. So everyone must get involved. To contact the Keep America Beautiful team nearest you, write Keep America Beautiful, 99 Park Avenue, New York, New York. People start pollution. People can stop it.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
Doug and Kathy Sellers are watching, spellbound, but more than a little repelled, a television picture. Something like a television picture, at least, on a screen that becomes a full-length mirror when it's turned off. The picture is a dismal one, a bleak landscape, gray, rocky, and barren as the moon's surface, except for several dome-like structures placed here and there at apparent random. This, Sid and Tootie Jones claim, is their home.
There's no place like that on this planet, Sid.
No place that I ever saw or heard of.
It's on this Earth. We're not space travelers.
I don't blame you for wanting to leave it wherever it is.
Well, if you're not space travelers, then what kind of travelers are you?
Let's all sit down. It's a long story.
Shall I turn it off, Sid?
No. Leave it on. Somebody might come out of one of the domes. They'd be interested in that.
What kind of traveler, Sid?
You've already guessed it, I think. Yes, we're time travelers.
Time travelers?
Then where... I mean, when is that? That picture you've got on the screen.
Two questions there, really. Where and when? To answer the first, it's right here, Doug. Right in this very neighborhood, on this very spot.
Well, then...
When?
Yeah.
The year you're looking at is 3987. A little over 2,000 years from now.
And that's what this neighborhood looks like?
That's what the whole world looks like, Doug. Worse. This is a garden spot.
Oh, it's some kind of trick, isn't it? I mean... It's just something you invented.
More like something you invented. You, all of you, and the next few generations. That's misuse of the Earth's resources. All of your mistakes carried out to their final, inevitable conclusion. You're looking at the end product of your era's short-sightedness.
I just don't believe it.
Well, there it is. You can see it.
But then it wasn't it wasn't bombed out?
The A bomb, the H bomb, all the alphabetical bombs that came after? No, they were never used. Except to waste the Earth's substance and terrify its people.
There, on the screen. Somebody's coming out of the B7 dome. Can you see who it is, Sid?
Not to be sure. Forex, most likely. I think it was his turn at B7.
What's he wearing that thing for? Looks like a spacesuit.
Well, that's what it is. We call them Atmos suits. There's no atmosphere now. None, at least, that's breathable. Except underground, where we convert it.
Good Lord.
Yes, we live underground. We come out now only to run tests. The toxicity of what's left of the atmosphere isn't very stable. We have to draw it in and purify it, so we need to keep abreast of what we're up against.
And pump the impurities back out?
Yes.
And that increases the toxicity?
Yes. The problem isn't solved. We're living by stopgap measures. We have some time, though. There's a lot of air out there, even though most of it is poison. And there aren't very many people to breathe what we salvage.
How many?
Well, in B7... Oh, no, you mean worldwide?
Yeah.
Oh, around 700,000... Between 7 and 8.
In the whole world?
Actually, that's a lot. It was down closer to 100,000 when we finally got the underground communities established. We were that close to extinction.
We're the only survivors. Everything else is gone.
We're here on a mission. You must have realized that.
What kind of a mission?
A very simple one. We're here to save the world.
Yeah, I want to talk to the chief of police.
He's out of town. What can I do for you?
Listen, I'm Thomas P. Driscoll of Driscoll Motors. I want to report a spy.
Report a spy? You'd like to give me the details?
I can only give the chief the details.
No way, Mr. Driscoll.
I offer you a spy, a genuine spy, and you won't put me... All right. I'm coming over there. By God, I pay my taxes and I'm entitled. I'll be over there in 10 minutes.
Did you say save the world? You're here to save that world 2,000 years from now?
That world, which of course is simply this one grown old. That's a dead world. It's beyond saving in our time. We have a few 100,000 people living inside it. Like people on one of your life rafts. If the people on the raft aren't rescued, they'll die. The same with our people. They'll die, or their grandchildren will, or their grandchildren. We few have survived the catastrophe temporarily.
And so you've come back here, back to our time with...
With the only treatment that can possibly save the world. We have a cure for its sickness, and we mean to administer it. Call me one of the doctors. There are many of us.
Many of you?
Oh, yes. One man could never do it. Your Mr. Driscoll was very right about that, Doug. We have many people in this time, some of them in very high places where pressure can be applied, where red tape can be bypassed.
Speaking of Driscoll, Sid, I think you ought to...
Don't worry about it. It isn't important. Now, will you let me sign that paper he gave you?
All right.
I've read that the people of your time set great store by pieces of paper with signatures on them.
What are these numbers you put under the signature?
Oh, that's just to make it thoroughly legal. That's my designation in my own time. 6D48M. We have numbers instead of names, although we still use nicknames. Mine actually is Sid from 6D.
My designation is 2T93K. Tootie. 2T.
That's kind of a cute name, though, once you get used to it.
Well, if you had time travel, I mean... Why did you wait until the world got into such a state?
Time translation is a relatively recent discovery.
But why this particular time? I mean, why not earlier or later?
Oh, no irreversible damage has been done at this time. As a matter of fact, it was at this time and point that the depletion of resources began accelerating so rapidly that it got out of control. Any later would have been too late. Well, much earlier, you wouldn't have had the technology needed to use what we wanted to give you.
I hope I haven't spoiled it for you. For all of us.
No. If it doesn't work, it's nobody's fault but my own. I made the decisions. It was my assignment.
I told you I'd get to the chief, and you said he was out of town.
Orders, Mr. Driscoll. I still don't know why he took me off the desk and handed me the job. It's FBI work.
Well, don't you worry about that, Wilson. You think the two of us will be enough? I mean, if he should decide to... shoot his way out or something like that.
There are two carloads of good men following us. The house will be surrounded when we go in, and there won't be a chance of his getting away.
Yes, there's a car stopping out in front now. Tootie, will you turn the screen off?
I already did.
Oh, Lord, it's old Thomas P. himself.
Mr. Driscoll.
And a cop.
Odd. I thought it would be your FBI. Oh, Mr. Driscoll looks very determined.
Mad as a wet hen, that's how he looks.
Well, he shouldn't be angry. He may make a great deal of the money you people prize so highly. Oh, you will too, of course, if things work out.
How can things work out if they're coming to pick you up?
There are many others, as I told you. My being found out shouldn't affect anything.
Maybe you could still get out the back way, Sid.
Oh, I'm sure we're surrounded. People are very impatient in 1975. I'll let them in.
It's your name, Sid Jones.
Oh, that's what I'm called, yes. Won't you come in?
Put the cuffs on him, why don't you? He's your spy. What are you waiting for?
Jones, is it true that you showed Mr. Sellers, is it, that you showed him an invention of yours last night?
Oh, yes, it's still down in the basement if you'd like to take a look at it.
Sergeant, you'll be making a great mistake if you arrest this man.
Have you lost your mind?
Sergeant, I can prove beyond any question that I am not a spy. Will you allow me to show you the proof?
Watch him, Wilson. He's up to something.
We got only your word, Mr. Driscoll. Go ahead, Jones.
Thank you. Tootie, will you help me with this?
Wilson, are you out of your head?
What's back of that looking glass, Jones? What's the glass got to do with this?
Well, that's what I'd like to show you. There's no danger, I assure you.
No danger, he says.
Just don't try anything.
Tootie?
The third button?
Yes, the third button.
What's happening? That's no mirror. Look at that thing.
It was turning all milky, foggy.
Wilson, why don't you do something?
He can't get away. Give the guy a chance.
I think it's ready now, Tootie.
Stop her! For God's sake, somebody stop her. She's disappearing into that looking glass thing.
Goodbye, Doug. Goodbye, Kathy. Thank you very much, both of you, for all you've done.
Stop right there, Jones. Stop or I'll...
Or you'll what? He's gone, you idiot. You let him walk right through that looking glass.
It's changing again. It's... Look, Kathy, it's making a picture.
Oh, my God.
A park. It's a beautiful park with trees and flowers and people walking around.
And not in those miserable spacesuits, either.
No. It's bright, pretty clothes. and children play. Oh, Doug, it must... Look, there's a dog, a little poodle.
For God's sake, what kind of mirror is that?
Break through it, you fool. Smash it. I don't care what it is. Smash it.
I guess you're right. Now, please stand aside, all of you.
What are you going to do with that gun?
Just use the butt of it to break the glass, ma'am. Now, please stand clear.
There's nothing back there but the wall. Just a plain, blank wall.
I almost forgot. Here's that release you wanted Sid to sign, Mr. Driscoll.
I don't want the damn thing. I don't want anything to do with him and his magic mirrors. I don't want any part of any of it.
I don't think you really have a choice, Mr. Driscoll. That was a park we saw through the looking glass before the sergeant here smashed it. And if they have a park, we have solar energy. We couldn't change it if we wanted to.
A park where there was a desolate wasteland only a few minutes ago. But wait, it wasn't a few minutes ago at all, was it? It was over 2,000 years in the future. And what this implies is that there are at least two quite different futures, both possible. Which in turn implies that we have, at this exact point in world history, reached a crossroad. I'll be back shortly.
Come on over for a drink.
What is a drink? Where is it written that a drink is not a drink unless it contains a slug of alcohol? Isn't lemonade a drink?
Aren't you drinking?
Isn't coffee fruit juice? Tea, water, soft drinks, are those non-drinks?
Let's get together for a drink.
Is it so uncool to drink something that can't change your perception of reality?
Let me buy you a drink.
The strange idea that only drinks containing alcohol are real drinks is so built into our society, it has actually become part of our language.
I'll drink to that.
And maybe that's part of our national drinking problem. What is a drink? Think about it. This message is brought to you as a public service by this station and the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism.
Would you like a drink?
I wonder what he meant by that.
Perhaps we shouldn't be surprised if one day, before too terribly long, we hear that solar energy is in the process of being harnessed. In any case, I believe that 6D48M, alias Sid Jones, has given us something to think about. Let's hope the right people do the right kind of thinking. Our cast included Ann Shepherd, Jack Grimes, Evie Juster, Russell Horton, and Ken Harvey. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Are you my friend? Well, are you my partner? I want music.
Well, I'll look into it, Harry.
You'll see to it?
I gotta go. I'll
be night
back.
Of love. Yeah, Barney Google!
There you are.
Well, everything all right, Mr. Burroughs?
Well, I tried not to upset him about anything. He seems to be fine.
Good.
I had a telegram from his mother, but I didn't show it to him. It wasn't exactly a telegram for him. She sent it to me.
He never mentioned having a mother.
Oh.
Matter of fact, he never mentioned anybody but you.
Yeah, well, see, I wired his mother right after the attack.
Yes.
And, well, here, I've been carrying her reply around with me in my pocket ever since. See, here it is.
You want me to read it?
Yeah, please.
Harry is too mean to die, and tell him I said so.
Yeah, see, his mother's kind of a joker at times.
You ask me, she's one smart old lady. That man in there is too mean to die.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and by the Florida Orange Growers. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Thank you.
listening to KIXI in Seattle, 910 on your AM dial. Temperature downtown at 74. And at SeaTac, 74 degrees. Weatherman says we should have just about the same kind of weather. Tomorrow, perhaps a little more cloudiness in the mornings, but clear and warm in the afternoons. A cooling trend is expected to set in by Friday. CBS Radio News is next at 11.
News. The Apollo astronauts are getting ready to come home. Splashdown is set for Thursday afternoon in the Pacific. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. The astronauts are in a rest period right now. They spent Wednesday night cleaning up their spacecraft, preparing for their return to Earth following the first joint flight with the Soviet Union. Thomas Stafford, Donald Slayton, and Vance Brand are to land in the Pacific late Thursday afternoon. Set to pick them up is the USS New Orleans, stationed about 320 miles west of Pearl Harbor. The two Soviet cosmonauts that flew the joint mission have been back on Earth since Monday. It was reported Wednesday that Soviet officials have hinted the two crews will make a world tour together. U.S. officials could not confirm such plans. More news in a moment. If you have occasional annoying hemorrhoid symptoms, you may be using a medication that is only petroleum jelly, a lubricant that soothes. If you want more than soothing alone, use Preparation H. Preparation H not only brings prompt, temporary relief from occasional pain and itch in many cases, but Preparation H does more, goes beyond soothing. Preparation H actually helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues caused by inflammation. Preparation H goes beyond soothing. Ointment or suppositories. Use only as directed.
They said it could be done. Kill fleas and ticks all in one. The two-in-one collar from Hearts. The two-in-one collar from Hearts.
Why should your dog suffer with fleas and ticks? If he's not wearing the Hearts two-in-one collar, get him one today. It'll make his summer beautiful.
It really works killing fleas. Helps end tick miseries.
The Hearts 2-in-1 collar, one incredible collar that kills both fleas and ticks. The White House and Congress are now talking compromise over the issue of oil price controls. President Ford is said to be willing to work with the lawmakers on some kind of price control extension after the present law runs out August 31st. One congressman involved in energy legislation, Democrat Richard Ottinger of New York, says the lawmakers must make their point to the people.
What we have to do is to make the American people realize the tremendous consequences of this. And I don't think they do yet, but it's estimated that this will mean from $600 to $900 additional costs for every family in the country. And I think once the people realize this, they'll put pressure on their congressmen to control the price of oil.
Ottinger is a member of a House Energy and Power Subcommittee. The Longshoremen's Union says its members will refuse to load grain onto ships bound for the Soviet Union until the dock workers are satisfied the interests of the American people are protected. They refer to the big green grain deal of 3 years ago, which drove up bread prices. In Nebraska, a farm spokesman was critical of the longshoremen's move. A report from Walt Gibbs of station KLNG, Omaha.
According to a spokesman for the Nebraska Farm Bureau, any restriction of foreign grain shipments will knock down the price of wheat. But M.M. Van Kirk says it will not affect the price of bread. It'll only hurt the American farmer.
For a group of people to say, we're not going to load the ships for some reason or other, is a very drastic interference with the economic system and the individual freedom system which we have in this country.
Van Kirk says the decision by the International Longshoremen's Association not to load ships with American grain bound for Russia means bad news for U.S. farmers. Says the farmer's already put his investment into the crop, and if the grain piles up at loading docks, the farmer will be in a financial bind. Walt Gibbs for CBS News, Omaha.
A tornado touched down Wednesday night in the central Illinois community of Canton. At least three people are reported dead and about 65 others injured. Most of the casualties were in a mobile home park. The twister also caused some casualties at a farm machinery plant.
Senator Frank Church, the chairman of the panel investigating alleged CIA assassination plots, says he'll call Secretary of State Kissinger as a witness. Church declined to say why the panel is anxious to hear from Kissinger before he leaves for Europe on Saturday, but the senator did say we have a reasonable and proper basis. In San Jose, Costa Rica, Wednesday night, members of the Organization of American States decided to lift the hemispheric sanctions against Cuba. The United States was one of 14 nations approving that decision. The decision has been made. It'll be formalized next Tuesday. Now this.
Are you an unpublished author? Do you have a book-length manuscript ready or almost ready for publication? Or do you know of anyone else who is an unpublished author? If so, Vantage Press invites you to write to a leading New York publisher for a free illustrated brochure titled To the Author in Search of a Publisher. It explains how you may have your manuscript printed and published in a matter of months. Just write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. Whether your subject is fiction, nonfiction, poetry, or even scientific, specialized, or controversial, this 52-page brochure shows you how to arrange for prompt publication. To get your copy, write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. That's GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. If this is your first book, you'll find this free brochure especially valuable and informative. Write to GPO Box 1414, New York, New York. GPO Box 1414, New York, New York.
In Raleigh, North Carolina, a jury has finally been picked to hear the murder trial of Joan Little, a black woman accused of murdering a white jailer in a cell. The jury consists of 5 blacks and 7 whites. Testimony is expected to begin next week. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
CBS in Seattle, KIXI. It's 6 minutes past 11.